Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am once again overjoyed to be joined by the one and only Wisco Grant, Grant Bills. You can find him on the Wisco Sports Show 4 to 6 on the Zone in Madison. Grant, it is great to be back chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Our first weekend without football. Not too bad because we had an awesome Badger game yesterday and I watched a little golf among other things today. So I saw a lot of tweets from folks today about how like, yeah, so this is our first Sunday without football, although the game wasn't even close last weekend. So I felt like last weekend kind of felt like the first weekend without football. I thought it was fine.
Yeah. The Super Bowl is almost like your last wean off of like the NFC and AFC championship game weekend feels like kind of really the last football because the Super Bowl is just a degree of different with the halftime and the spectacle and the different crowd and the neutral field. And it's just a tad different. Right. So it still feels big, important. It's still football. I still love it, but it feels like kind of that last final wean off of football. And you do sort of go from Super Wild Card Week, which is still a lame name, but you get, you know what, 3 days and, you know, however many games, what is it like, seven games? I don't even know. However many games that there are, And then the following week you get divisional round. It's a little bit less than championship, a little bit less than Super Bowl a couple weeks later. And you do sort of like wean it off and it does feel like, all right, I'm set, but it doesn't necessarily make it any easier. And that actually was going to be my first question for you is how are you doing without football? I also really enjoyed the Hockey Four Nations thing. Like the fact that they figured out a all-star format that they care about. It's like, it is awesome. Yeah. I'm super pumped about that. So it's not football. Nothing is, but it's been mostly an enjoyable weekend without it.
Well, and what's wild is, you know, okay, so football's done. Well, the combine is what? The end of next week? And
it's then coming up,
like things just start happening so quickly. And the NFL's gotten so good at that, you know, year after year, they're like, how can we tighten up the gaps in our schedule a little bit so we can own more real estate? It feels like the only truly dead period now for the NFL is like what, early summer, post OTAs, but before training camp. So even that the games are done, like we'll have combine and, you know, coaches and, you know, GMs and certain football people speaking next week, which gives us content. And so the games are done, but it's not like we're without football, at least for the next couple of weeks and months.
No. And with free agency right around the corner, and then you actually have free agents signed, you're going to start getting more and more players released. And then, you know, of course, like some of these players like Kendall Fuller, who was released last week, like he could get signed. Like the Packers could theoretically sign Kendall Fuller on Monday if they wanted to. I don't necessarily expect that to happen, but if they wanted to, they could do that. Somebody can. So these things will start happening pretty quick here. We obviously had a ton of coaching changes. Super Bowl was just a week ago. Like I said, free agency coming up, and then it's going to be right into the draft. And to your point, it's really just that end of mini camp to start of training camp, about month-ish period that gets a little bit slow. And it's kind of right around the perfect time. So I can't complain one way or the other. But what we're going to be doing today is going over bold predictions for the remainder of the offseason. So basically, we kind of know what the coaching staff is going to look like, but we've got a full free agency ahead of us. We've got a draft ahead of us. There's going to be, I mean, even technically training camp, OTAs, mini camps, all of that is theoretically part of the offseason as well. So we're going to go through our bold predictions for the remainder of it. I got 13 on my list, Grant. I know you've got some spicy ones off the top that we're going to go through first, but I did some brainstorming. Some of them a little bit more spicy than others. Some of them are a little bit more basic. I will definitely say that, but we'll get to them nonetheless. But I want to start with you, Grant. Where do you want to kick things off with a bold and spicy prediction to start the off-season discussion here?
So first, I'll just mention off the top, I feel like similar to last offseason, things are really stable. And, you know, I know last time that we chatted, you're like, we were kicking around the idea of a surprise cut. I'm like, well, I don't know who that surprise cut would be. The roster is in such a healthy spot. Everyone's young. So, you know, I had a little bit of a difficulty. The coaching staff seems so settled. I had a difficulty kind of coming up with something crazy, something that could really surprise Packers fans. I'm sure they'll find a way because it's the NFL. Right. But for my first one, this can be a old reliable. You can dust this one off every year about this time. but I believe it a little bit more this year than maybe in past years. I feel like a wide receiver in round one could be on the board. I feel like maybe the drought could end this year.
You know, Jacob Westendorf just had something about this as well. All right, explain away, explain away.
Well, first and foremost, and this is true every year, the longer they go without doing it, I feel like they're just due. Because even if they have their principles and they have the way that they want to go about things, at some point it's going to, like, it's just going to happen. There's right. going to be a player that they love so much, and they're going to be picking at a spot where it just comes together. So with every year that it doesn't happen, I feel like it gets more and more likely that at some point it's bound to happen. But they're also picking at the end of the first round, right? As opposed to, you know, previous years where they were up a little, like the Van Ness pick, for example. They could have had Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and they didn't, right? But now yep. at the end of the first round, they need to find a replacement for Christian Watson. And remember, I don't need to remind you, but I remind myself, the Packers tried to trade back up into the first round to get Christian Watson, right? Or near the end of the first, like, I think they were comfortable taking him at the end of the first round if they were able to do it. So I think their need for a wide receiver, a guy with size and speed to kind of take the role of Christian Watson while he's injured and who knows about his future, they're drafting at the end of the first round, and I feel like they're due. I don't know. I could see it happening this year. We also do this conversation every year, but I do think there are some factors that line up specific to the current team into this draft that might make it a little bit more likely than normal.
It is a really interesting concept. And the more and more I go through wide receiver, and the more and more I look at like who they could potentially sign, who could be a roster cut, who they could trade for. I've said this over and over. I've found it very, very difficult. I am going to give a name a little bit later today as a little bit of a tease here. I am going to give a name that I think they could potentially sign, but it's been really difficult for me to pinpoint down a wide receiver that makes sense because for so many different reasons. Number one, they don't need just a wide receiver. Like there's no need for a good wide receiver. I mean, you can always have good players. Like it's never bad to have good players, but they very specifically do not just need a good wide receiver. And they certainly don't need like some, you know, kind of back of the roster developmental kind of wide receiver, like as like a free agent, right? Like some sort of flyer or whatever. That's not going to move the needle either. Like you kind of need a dude if you want to bring somebody into this team and sort of reset the hierarchy a little bit. You kind of need a dude, and you start going through like, don't think it's Chris Godwin. I don't think they're going to trade for DK Metcalf. I don't think Debo Samuel's that anymore. I don't think Cooper Kupp's that anymore. I don't think they're going to give $30 million a year for T Higgins. Like you just go on and like Devontae is kind of the only one that makes sense. And I'm still having trouble getting to point A to point B of like, yeah, Devontae Adams is wearing number 17 in Green Bay again next year. I can't quite get there. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be a great story, but I can't quite get to that actually being the case. So I've had a really hard time in pinpointing who that wide receiver would potentially be. I'm going to take a stab at one today, but I do think there is a really good chance that they just go with old reliable, and that is taking a receiver in the draft, whether that's first round, second round, maybe third. But again, you get into the third or later, they don't really need that. It almost has to be a first or second round wide receiver. And I'm not saying they can't take one later, but they don't, that's not going to solve the problem, so to speak. So I don't hate the idea. And I absolutely could see something like that happening if the right receiver would fall to them, you know, at pick 23 or wherever they end up in round one.
Well, and think of previous years when they've had a need at a position. Like, we need guys to round out the roster. 2 years ago, they needed wide receivers. Didn't take any in the first round. They went second. They kind of peppered the middle rounds. And then this last year, they did that at safety, too. They kind of peppered the middle rounds. What they've done under Goody in the first round, I think, historically, is someone with high ceiling tools, right? Someone that they think, regardless of position, could maybe turn into a star down the road. And that's kind of what they need a wide receiver. Right? Yep. Like they don't need to rebuild the whole position. They don't even necessarily need a guy. I think they should add. But if they don't draft another wide receiver, you know, you could convince yourself, okay, Tucker Kraft, Wicks, like, all right, yeah. Those guys developing in years two or I guess three now and four for Dobbs, you know, head injury aside. I just think them needing one difference maker at wide receiver at the end of the first round, I don't know. It seems like it could be doable. And then you could move on. And then you would have, I think the Packers would have handled their obligation to the wide receiver room with that pick. You know what I mean? I don't think there's a reason to necessarily circle back unless the board falls the way that you want. Like if you can get one guy with the traits that you think can be a difference maker in that room, just do it in the first round for the first time in forever. It's not a big deal. And then it's settled. Why? I don't know if we've ever talked about this, Andy. What is it? How is it that a team goes so long between first round wide receiver. It can't just be luck. That has to be something institutionally that they believe. Have you ever talked about this? I don't think I've ever heard you talk about
Yeah, so my first thought on this is, I think if Green Bay doesn't have the, you know, Favre, Rodgers, you know, I guess it's a love to some extent. If sure. this, like, especially Aaron Rodgers, right? If like the constant conversation was like, oh, I'll never take a first round wide receiver for him, which was mostly the dumbest thing through his era, because they literally had, you know, from, you know, Driver to Jennings to Jones to Nelson to Cobb to Adams to, like, we can go on and on. Like, throughout the vast majority of his career in Green Bay, he had some really fantastic. I mean, they put a freaking Sports Illustrated cover together of mm-hmm. all of the weapons that he had, you know, next to him. It didn't matter that any, if any of them were first round picks at all, they were all really good football players. So the whole thing was stupid to begin with, but I think it just caught on at some point that they never gave Aaron Rodgers a first round weapon, or, you know, never threw a touchdown to a first round pick, anything like that. And I think it just became a thing. My guess, I haven't looked at it, but all right, let me think. Have they taken, they've taken a first round safety because it's Darnell Savage. Mm-hmm. They've taken a first round corner, like 30 of them. They've mm-hmm. taken a first round off ball linebacker. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously Quay Walker being the most recent. They've certainly taken first round edge rushers, defensive tackle, Kenny Clark. They've taken first round tackle. My guess is they haven't taken a first round guard or center, wide receiver. Tight end would have been what, Bubba Franks? Probably the last time that they took a first round tight end would probably. Be my guess. And they probably haven't taken a first round running back since. Am I missing somebody? Like, I don't think they've ever taken a first round running back since. I don't know when. I'd have to really look back at that. But
well, Lacy would be the closest, and he was what, second, late right. second.
Yeah. So like it is. So we never hear, well, Green Bay's never spent a first round pick on a running back, or the Green Bay's never spent a first round pick on a guard, or it's been since 2000 that Green Bay spent a first round pick on a tight end, or Green Bay never spends a first round pick on a center. Like, we never yeah. hear any of those things. It just, it happened to, like, I think Aaron Taylor was the last interior offensive lineman in 94, probably. And the last running back would have been Brent Fulwood in 1987. So again, it's never been a thing. Nobody's ever brought up that, oh, Green Bay never spends a first round. And I get, like, running backs in the first round are out of vogue, and you usually don't do it at center and things like that. But it's just, I think it got a life of its own. I think it's more happenstance. If you don't think they would have taken Brandon Ayuk in the first round if he fell, whatever, what it would have been, two or three more spots, or Justin Jefferson had he fallen three or four more, they were absolutely going to take Jefferson or Ayuk had they, you know, fallen a couple more spots that they needed to. It just didn't happen that way. And I would be willing to bet you there's probably been four or five other drafts through that time period where if the right receiver just fell to them, that they were going to take them, and it just didn't happen that way. So I do think that they have, like, they like premium position players. I think wide receiver comes probably just a tier below defensive end, offensive tackle, quarterback, corner, pass rusher, etc. Like, I think those come probably a little bit first, but I think in the right situation, they would absolutely do it. And I just don't think that, you know, situation has quite presented itself. I don't think it's anything more than that, to be honest.
Well, and they've never been in a spot, you know, they've never been in a spot with a quarterback, at least in the last 30, 40 years, where it's like, holy balls, we need to get this guy superstar help. You know what I mean? Right. Because Favre and Rodgers have been so great. And once you have a great wide receiver or two, well, what's the reason for taking a first round pick? I guess if you can get a toolsy guy later that you like and bring them along slowly because they don't need to be the one. So I don't know. The Packers are probably one of the better examples in sports of, once you get the thing right, it's easier to keep getting it right, or it's yes. easier to, you know, you make it easier on yourself once you figure thing A out. Now B, C, D, E gets easier at quarterback, but I think it's probably true at wide receiver too.
Here's the philosophy, right? And not to dive too much into this, and I think KC has done this to a large extent as well, but get your quarterback and then build your defense up as much as possible. Build your offensive line too. Build your offensive line as needed. Build your defense. And you, like, Patrick, your expectation when you've got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid is that they're going to figure things out on the offensive side, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to put up, just Mahomes and Reid alone with, like, some stuff is going to put up like 24, 25 points per game in like whatever, right? And in, if they get a couple good pieces on offense, it's probably more than that. You go and then build your defense after that, where it's a defense that can hold you under 23 points per game or whatever it might be. You're just winning games at an extremely high level at that point. And I'll also add on top of this, what's the number one position where you can usually find a guy at the trade deadline? It's a wide receiver. Like, what's the number one? Like, if you need to find a guy that's going to help elevate you to some extent, you can usually find wide receivers when you need them. You can't find a premium pass rusher. You can't find a premium corner more often than not. I know Marshawn Lattimore was traded this year, but more often than not, you can't find that guy. You can't find a quarterback. You can't find a big time offensive lineman. Like, there's certain things that you cannot find in the middle of the season. Like, those are probably the things that you want to prioritize come draft time. And if you need to find a wide receiver, even if it's like a stopgap 1 year guy, or even if it's like, it's maybe not a 1A guy, but it's like a good 1B or whatever, like, or a second wide receiver, you can find those guys almost all throughout the year outside of once the trade deadline's done. And that's usually why you maybe don't spend the premium picks on those type of players. And I just think that's, again, a philosophy that for the most part, Green Bay kind of sticks with.
It's an economics thing, right? Why pay a premium for something that you can get cheaper or get some, you know what I mean? It's, you know, it's a matter of valuation in the draft. So I don't know. That was definitely my first bold take. I have another, if you're interested.
Let's do it.
I don't know if this is a bold prediction as much as it's just a bold statement, but I think that Jordan Love needs another voice. I think this transition at quarterback coach from Tom Clemens to Sean Mannion actually comes at a good time. And that's not to take anything away from Tom Clemens and the job that he's done forever. But we talked to Greg Cosell. We did like 20 minutes with Greg Cosell on Radio Row in New Orleans. He's unbelievable. Anytime he's on a show, you have to stop.
One of the smartest football people of all time.
He's unbelievable. Yep. And he talked about Jordan Love glowingly. He said, this is a guy who has top five physical talent. His physical traits are unbelievable. And when he commits to good mechanics, right, and when he sets his feet, he can be remarkably consistent and accurate, and he can do all the things. But as we talked about with Rodgers in a different sense, he said the different arm angles and the off-platform throws, those should be that should be the move for a quarterback when a defense demands it. It shouldn't be a matter of course,
yeah,
right, which is what he said. And I started to think, and I had some callers on my show, it's like, well, wait, Jordan Love sat for 3 years. You know what I mean? If he couldn't get the footwork cleaned up, and if he, you know, what a better opportunity for multiple years to get all that cleaned up. So I don't know. I'm starting to wonder, maybe a new perspective and maybe a new voice at quarterback coach could maybe fill some gaps or push some buttons with Jordan Love that weren't previously being filled and pushed. I don't know. I know that's a bold statement, but I think he could probably use a different voice.
It's a great conversation point and starter. And I think there's so much to this that I kind of want to unpack here for a moment. I think the first thing I'll say is we know about Jordan Love's injuries last year, right? Mm-hmm. The number one thing that goes when you have the injuries is the practice time. And when you're not repeating those mechanics over and over and over and over again and getting that work in, you're just going to go to your default settings. And the default settings for Jordan are a little bit more of the ad lib, throw off your back foot, sidearm throws, things like that. You're not as in rhythm with it. Basically what happens is you go through all of this off season and you're working with your quarterback's coach to set those fundamentals into motion and get your mechanics the way that you want them. That all sounds great until you've got three or four 300-pound dudes chasing you down that also run like a 4.440 somehow. And you're just in like, oh my God mode. And then everything just goes out of your mind. And you once again sort of get back to those default settings. And that happens. It happens even more when you haven't had the practice time. I will say going into training camp last year, preseason, week one prior to the injury, I thought some of his mechanics were way better. He was throwing the best deep ball I had ever seen him throw. Remember, that was one of the big talking points coming out of training camp. Remember the preseason game? He played three snaps and he hit, I forget, was it two, if it was Wicks or Reed or who it was too. Was it Wicks?
I think yeah. So, yeah.
Like Gore, like unbelievably perfect, lobbed it up right in the breadbasket. Like could not have thrown that ball any prettier. Like he clearly had worked on it. It looked awesome. And then has like an MCL, whatever, and completely, again, misses all the practice time, then basically is just working to be sort of healthy for the games. And then the groin and then everything. And to me, all of that stuff goes. So I don't necessarily disagree with anything that you're saying. I'm really excited for Sean Mannion to be in that room and just be a different voice and see how it kind of responds. But I think the lack of practice time, I think sometimes what was happening with the offensive line and those sort of things, I think that all went into it as well. And it's definitely been, it was more a victim of circumstance and an unfortunate reality of last year. And I don't think he's ever going to be a 1A mechanics guy. It's just never going to happen. I would be stunned if it does. I hope like hell I'm wrong. but I do think it's going to be better than what we saw really almost at any point last year.
To build off of what you just said, directly about the practice time, and I mentioned this on my show, I think that's one of the most under-discussed talking points of the Packers season, because we talked about Jordan Love's injury. Well, that's why he's not under center, right? I remember that was posed to LaFleur after the Rams game and something, you know, well, he's not as confident and comfortable getting out and running. And you talk about all the different ways in which his injuries affected the way that he plays on the field. I think as big as all of those on the field, you know, factors, just missing practice time, right? Yeah. That makes it so much more difficult for your mechanics and for honing those things, to your point, but also that fine tuning that you can do with your wide receivers and your offensive line, where it's just those little fine things that make a difference on 3rd and 8 when you have some of the best pass rushers in football bearing down on you. So I'm with you in that. I think the lack of Jordan Love's practice time for such long stretches last year, I think that's a wildly under-discussed point. And there's tons of different conversations to be had around Jordan Love's injury, but I think that's one that probably wasn't had enough last season.
Love it. Absolutely love it. All right. Do you have any other ones?
I think that's about it. I think those are my two big ones. I want to hear what you have and we can.
I got 13 and none of them you hit. So I'm loving this. Do you want me to go basic or extreme first?
Let's do a couple basic ones first. Let's get warmed up.
All right. This is about as basic as it gets. This isn't bold at all. So I apologize in advance, but I'm going to go with it anyway. The Green Bay Packers in Green Bay, Wisconsin will draft a quarterback in the 2025 NFL draft. Nothing hot takey here. It's not going to be in the first 100 picks, but I do believe that they will get some competition for Sean Clifford in that number 3 quarterback spot. I think they'll get a lottery ticket. I think they will draft somebody. I think they'll bring in 4 quarterbacks, to sort of training camp OTAs. I think that'll be Clifford, Malik Willis, obviously Jordan Love, and then their rookie QB. And I think they're also going to try to get somebody who can be the backup next year once Malik Willis likely leaves in free agency. So the Green Bay Packers will select a quarterback at some point in the 2025 NFL draft. And there will be a quarterback announced for the Green Bay Packers while the draft is in Green Bay.
I thought about putting that on my list because it does seem very likely. That's something they will do and a lot of fans will roll their eyes. But I have no response to that other than I completely agree. And that's totally a thing that they're probably.
Like I said, totally basic one to start off with. We'll start easy. The next one is also semi-basic and I think mostly expected. The Packers will outright release Jaire Alexander. They will not be able to work out a trade. He will be flat out released. He will be no longer a Green Bay Packer. They will save the salary cap space. They will not June 1st designate him. They will just kind of take the medicine right now, still save around $6 to $7 million in salary cap space this year. And they will go out in free agency, find a different corner to help this team. And it will be the end of the Jaire Alexander era in Green Bay.
I would agree. You don't think they'll be able to, I just see so many trade proposals from Packers fans. And I'm like, why would he have that value on this contract? I don't think he's worthwhile for any team.
I hope I'm wrong. Give me a conditional 7th. Give me a 2027 round, 7th round conditional pick. I'll take anything. I will take pennies on the dollar. Some practice squad corner is probably better than nothing, right? But like, I just don't know that any team is going to give anything for the right to negotiate a new contract with Jaire Alexander. Because as soon as you trade for him, the burden is on you to now negotiate a new contract because they're not going to keep him on the contract that he's on. So yes, if I give up a conditional 7th, I at least get to be the lone one that's negotiating that contract. There is like a small advantage to that, but I think I'd rather just because Green Bay is going to release him. I think I'll just try to negotiate him with, you know, in free agency. And also if I lose out on him, I kind of know I'm taking a gamble slash risk with Jaire anyway. Like, I don't know that I'm going to lose any sleep that I lost him in free agency because I don't even know if he's going to play more than 4 games in a given season anyway. So I don't know that any team's going to be willing to give anything. I hope they do. I just saw Luka Doncic go for Anthony Davis. You know, I've seen dumber trades that have been made throughout the course of, time. So we'll see. Maybe I would hope it, but I'm going to say he gets outright released.
Do you think at some point this summer, let's just assume that happens. Do you think at some point this summer we get a sourced story with more information about exactly what happened and how the different parties felt? Or do you think it's,
I think we'll get breadcrumbs, but I think it's going to come down to, here's what it's going to come down to. Jaire is going to say the Packers wanted me to play and I didn't feel ready to play. The Packers are going to say he was medically cleared to play and he didn't play. And it's going to be, I think it's mostly going to be playing nice in the sandbox. There'll be little hints of like, yeah, the Packers tried to get me to play when I wasn't ready, and little hints of he was ready to play and didn't play. And I don't think it's going to get into this big brouhaha, but my guess is those will be the breadcrumbs.
All right. I always look forward to breadcrumbs. By the way, on the idea of they will outright release him because no team wants to give up anything for the right to renegotiate a new contract because his current one is untenable. Do you think the same is true of the Jets and Devontae Adams?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's very much going to be the case.
It'll be the same thing. Because that's the one thing, and I brought this up on my show last week. We talked about it for a couple segments. It's like Devontae Adams as a player in a vacuum could make a lot of sense for this team. It's that contract that's just absurd.
Yeah. So I do think he gets released, and I do think Green Bay will have some level of interest, whether or not it's the most interest of any other team. That I have a tougher time with, but we'll see. I would love it to happen. I do not have Devontae Adams as a Green Bay Packer in my bold predictions today. By the way, as somebody that does radio, would you rather have breadcrumbs and then you get to fill in the blanks, or would you rather have the full story and then you get to comment on it?
Oh, that's a great question. First instinct would be just give us the whole thing, but sometimes when you get the whole thing, it's like, well, it's all, you know what I mean? Tyler Dunn's story about McCarthy. It wasn't just about McCarthy. The massage thing is the thing that's remembered, but that thing was a book, and it actually maybe doesn't make for that great of radio. Give me four or five little things that we can pick at for a full 2 hours. I don't need all the facts. That's no fun. So maybe I would just take the breadcrumbs, but we've already gotten, I feel like, little traces of Jair breadcrumbs. Maybe they'll become a little bit more well-defined once he's out of here.
Could be.
But I feel like that's already started a bit. Interesting.
Well, we made it 1 week in the books with no football whatsoever. And I don't know about you guys, but I made it in large part because it was a phenomenal week on Prize Picks. And Prize Picks has you set for all of your favorite sports, not just football. And it is such a great time of the year to get invested in college basketball, soccer, pro hoops, and much, much more. And while there's never a bad time to sign up, right now you can download the app and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. So what will your Prize Picks be this week? Here are mine. I'm going with James Harden for LA. I'm also going with Karl Anthony Towns in New York. I think he's going to have a massive week. Lastly, I'm going with Leon Draisaitl for Edmonton as hockey gets back in full swing this upcoming weekend. Just make sure that you don't forget to download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. I'm going to pick up the spice just a little bit. We're going through like a hot ones episode here. We're starting with the easy sauce, and then you get to a little bit spicier and you're like, all right, that's a little bit spicier. All right. I've got two names for you. These two names are going to be the biggest names of the offseason that are of returning Packers that are having all the buzz during OTAs, mini camps, training camps. Two names for you that are going to be like, oh my God, it's their huge coming out party, so to speak.
Okay.
They're two rookies from last year, both of them who dealt with injuries. Jordan Morgan, Marshawn Lloyd are going to be the two Packers that are returning that make the most buzz during the course of this offseason. Jordan Morgan solidifying himself as one of the top five starters and just a, you know, go-to, you know, offensive starter on that offensive line. And then Marshawn Lloyd really making a ton of buzz for all the incredible cuts and catches and everything that he has the capability of doing. I've said this before. There were days at practice last year that he looked like the best running back in training camp, which we know who was number one on that list. So I'm not saying he's better than him. He's not, but there were days that it looked that way. And I think if he can get in some preseason games and the fans actually get to see him a little bit more, I think he's going to start to generate a lot of buzz very, very fast. So Marshawn Lloyd, Jordan Morgan, the two returning players that will make the most buzz this offseason.
Best shape of their life, comments, added XYZ pounds of muscle, comments. Yes.
Functional strength.
I went and saw a specialist in my hometown, you know, for this or that, like all of those stories in training camp. Who were those names last year in camp? Do you remember? Because I'm trying to remember.
That's a great question. I'd have to think about it a little bit. I mean, obviously one of the big stories was Eric Stokes and Christian Watson going to the specialists in Madison and, you know,
they wanted the best specialists in the world and they found him in Madison.
Madison, Wisconsin. Being
very
funny. Of course they did. So that happened. That was one of the storylines. I'm trying to obviously Tucker Kraft made quite a bit of noise for just everything he was doing in training camp. That was absolutely one of them. Edrian Cooper, actually, I know not a returning Packer, but he certainly made some buzz as well. But yeah, those are the kind of the ones that come to the top of my head.
Tucker Kraft kind of fits that mold. The difference is Tucker Kraft, you know, came on late as a rookie, but it's not like he dealt with injuries. Yeah. Or certainly not down the stretch. Maybe early he did, but I don't remember. I also think it would do a lot for this Packers team and for Packers fandom and their sanity just for – I don't know that a lot of people lost a ton of sleep over the absence of Marshawn Lloyd last year because Jacobs was there. And I – Jordan Morgan, especially watching Cooper DeJean in the Super Bowl, which is fair, by the way. Don't talk down to Packers fans and be like, oh, you got to get over it. Like, no, we're watching the dude help his team win a Super Bowl. But I think Jordan Morgan popping and playing well early would do a lot for the sanity of Packers fandom, which I think is important. Restore a little balance to our minds, especially as we get ready for the season. So I like the sound of that a lot.
All right, I got my next bold one for you. I mentioned a free agent wide receiver. I'm struggling with one big piece of this, and I'll go over it in just a second. I'm going to say overall, though, this Packers team trades out one Slayton for another. TJ Slayton is not returned, especially with the depth of this defensive tackle draft. We'll talk about that in just a moment as well. But I think TJ Slayton is gone. They signed Darius Slayton from the New York Giants to come in and be that deep stretch the field wide receiver, you know, 1 to 2 year deal. Here's what I'm really struggling with. And I can't see this being the case, but maybe I'm just an idiot. Spotrac has him on a 3 year, $47 million deal, $15.8 million per year. That is crazy talk to me. I cannot in any way, shape, or form fathom how he would get that much money. And then the other one is that PFF is 3 years, $12.5 million per year, $37.5 million total. He is not worth that much money. So if he does go for that much, then I just think it's probably not going to be the case. But if it's more of like the 1 year, 8 million or 2 years, like something like 16 million, something like that, he's a high RAS guy coming out of college. Sometimes it's best to take a player off of a team where that player had no chance to succeed over the last 4 or 5 years, similar to a Xavier McKinney with the Giants, a Saquon Barkley with the Giants. Like, go get a Darius Slayton from the Giants. And I think he has not had really a quarterback that's been able to utilize him to the best of his abilities. Like, I could see him having a pretty distinct breakout at this point in his career just because he'd actually have a quarterback for really the first time in his career. So I'm going to say that TJ Slayton is gone. Darius Slayton is in, unless it actually gets to the funny money for Slayton, in which case I hope that's not the case. Even like 1 year, 8, 1 year, 10, I would be like a little bit like, ugh, I'm not sure I love that, but I could see Green Bay, especially with the height, the weight, the speed, the super athleticism. I could see in just somebody that can stretch the field for a year or two while they kind of try to find that. I could see Green Bay being in on Darius Slayton.
Well, and I don't know. I'm not familiar with his game enough to know if
deep
he's
ball willing, burner, like
if he's let's say a willing blocker, someone who's willing to mix it up like that. But here's the thing, Andy, if you bring, and I, this is why I love that you brought this point up. If you take a guy out of a hopeless situation and all of a sudden you put them on a team that's a contender where the attitude is different and coming into work every day just feels night and day different. You know what I mean? Like, just listen to what Jacobs or Keyshawn Nixon or others have said about coming to Green Bay. I think you're going to get your best effort or get the best effort from that player. So a little bit of extra juice here and there, or maybe a little bit more willingness to block it up and to be part of that I think important factor in Matt LaFleur's offense.
Has not been a good run blocker throughout his career, at least through PFF. So that would be one thing that they'd have to reconcile a little bit. But I think at some point you start needing that deep threat. Again, there's not that 1A guy in free agency. I don't think they're going to settle for like a 1 year MVS sort of scenario.
I was going to ask you about MVS. That intrigues me.
I did think about it. I don't think that they'd go in that direction. Although he obviously does have familiarity within the offense. It's not impossible. There's not a lot of like deep burning wide receivers in this draft either. Like it's a very interesting scenario, which is why I could see them potentially going with Slayton on more of like a 1 to 2 year stopgap type of deal.
That could make sense. You don't think TJ Slayton coming back to the D-line? I see a lot of Packers people on Twitter just like, pay him, pay him, pay him. He's a big part of their run defense. But you think it's more structural?
I think the draft is too deep in defensive tackles. I think, you know, Slayton's had 4 years to kind of show what he can be. He was down to like 18 snaps a game last year. I just think at some point when like you've defined yourself at a player and you're just kind of like a rotational player, you'd rather go out and get somebody in the second, third, fourth, fifth round and just see if they can actually, especially in a draft that is deepest at defensive tackle, like go grab a couple of those guys, see if one, like my guess is that one of them will at least be what TJ Slayton was. So, and then just go younger and maybe one of them can actually break out to be more of a legitimate starter, Pro Bowl player, whatever. And in the meantime, basically give you what TJ Slayton gave you anyway.
And well, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when I brought up McDuffie. It's like, well, general manager would just rather draft a guy who's probably going to be just as good and could maybe be better, right? Like, that's a player who could maybe turn into something. And I don't think DJ Slayton is on a trajectory to turn into a star, but can you get a guy who might turn into a star one day, but also, yes, you know, give you really good, solid run defense in the meantime? I think you're probably right about that.
All right, I got two big-ish ones left. Packers signed Paulson Adebo, corner from the Saints, in free agency at corner. I'm going to talk a lot about him with Justice Mosqueda tomorrow, so don't want to dive too deep into Paulson Adebo yet, but high relative athletic score guy. Another guy that probably shouldn't be available, but the Saints probably can't pay him because their credit card is maxed out. They spent all their parents' money. So again, you'd be able to kind of go get him. We'll see what type of command there is for him. He's not one of the top corner market guys, but I think he's a little bit under the radar. And I think he'd be right in that price point that Green Bay'd be looking for. I think adding him to a group of Carrington Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon, Javon Bullard, probably drafting a corner as well. I think you feel pretty darn good about that corner room as a whole. And I think he gives you a little bit of, I think he solidifies it a little bit. I'll put it that way.
Sticky physical coverage guy from what I remember watching him. Which maybe Halfley likes. I would imagine that he likes, if he wants to play press man and do all, you know, the things. I just listening to you talk about this, I also, this isn't necessarily a bold take, but something that Packers fans would probably like to hear. I don't think this corner room is that far away. Like, I know Keyshawn Nixon's talking about, I want to be CB1. Okay, well, put that to the side. If you can add, let's say, two young, talented corners in the draft you really like to a room with Nixon and Valentine, and maybe if you can sign a guy as well, like, that's a nice mix. And probably not all of them are going to pop and have great years, but two or three of them, I bet. Yeah, like, I know this corner room feels like, I thought that it felt so far away last year, but I don't think that it is. If they just make a couple nice moves, a free agent would be nice. But even if you just draft two guys, I still feel like this position's pretty close to being where it needs to be.
I can't tell you how much more, how better I felt about Keyshawn Nixon after watching like the top free agent corners in this draft or in this free agency period. I was like, Mike, they already have something like this in Keyshawn Nixon. And I watched the next day. I'm like, they already have something that's as good as this in Keyshawn Nixon. And I kept like going back to him. I'm like, some teams are going to sign all these guys to these big deals. And I'm like, I think Keyshawn's basically on the same level as almost every single one of these guys, or at least very similar. So yeah, I gained a lot of, I already respected what he did in the second half as an outside corner. And was higher on him than I think people, a lot of other people, but, and you start going and watching some of the other corners that are about to get these huge deals. And it's like, man, I'm glad I don't have to be the one paying, or that the Packers are going to be the ones paying that big money, that instead, you know, they kind of got some guys in house already that can kind of do some of the stuff that these players that are about to get huge contracts are, they're hoping they can do some of that stuff. So
you were Lattimore, who went what, for a third and a fifth or something, like a bunch of nice picks, nothing crazy, but a lot of nice picks. And he was toast against the Eagles in the, you know what I mean? And that happens to corners sometimes, but that's the thing. Like, Nixon was toasted once or twice throughout the portion of the season. I like Nixon. I don't really love that he's like, I'm going to be corner one, because his utility is that he can kind of do whatever the team needs him to do. Like,
That's just Keyshawn being Keyshawn.
I agree. Yeah. But the idea is like, and the same would be true with Micah Hyde, right? Like, he was a similar player in that you want to build the boat. And then, all right, where does Micah best fit? Because he's so versatile. And I feel like it's kind of the same with Nixon. Like, let's see where the chips fall. And then what's his best role? Now, I also, you know, that's part of that showmanship and that's attitude, of course. But he's the type of player that is so versatile. I think he can help the team in a bunch of different ways. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he fits in with whatever they do, especially on the back end of the defense and free agency and in the draft.
All right, I got my biggest spicy one, and then we'll go through some random ones. The Packers find a trade for defensive end Max Crosby and do not give up their 2025 first round pick.
So how would they go about doing that?
Second round pick this year. I'm going to say second round pick next year. Maybe it can turn into a first if he's like a first team all pro, something like that. So I think it's a second round pick this year, a conditional second next year, maybe somebody like an LVN or an Enigbari or another small piece is included in that as well. But I don't think they end up giving up their 2025 first round pick. I think they keep that in Green Bay. There's a little bit of a conditional pick added next year where the Raiders might get a little bit more incentive to maybe not take the first rounder this year. The Raiders are in no hurry. They can have a little bit of a wait on this. They're not ready to compete right now anyway. They're trading away instead of trading for. So Packers get Max Crosby. don't give up their first round pick. It's a huge move for Green Bay. It's a big time home run swing. And that sort of solidifies your kind of your offseason with Crosby, your big time player. You get a nice corner in Paulson Adebo. You get a, I think most people will be disappointed with the Darius Slayton. I kind of would almost be in that camp as well. These are always the ones that I need to be clarify of, like, this is not what I would do. This is me making bold predictions, but like you get a wide receiver that can stretch the field in Darius Slayton. And then you still have most of your draft class left sans for a second round pick. And I think you can kind of go and fill in the gaps with your first and third, fourth, fifth, sixth round picks, et cetera. So I think that makes it a pretty well-rounded offseason for Green Bay.
What's the yeah, but though with Crosby, where he wouldn't even command one first round pick, let alone multiple, considering what other guys, you know, in the past have been dealt for? Like, I guess you just need to give me a little bit more on why that's remotely possible.
Yeah, I just think, again, you're looking at like a first and a third ish, a first and a second, maybe for Myles Garrett. I know some people have said like a couple firsts. I think Max Crosby goes for a little bit less. You have to take on the contract. He didn't have quite the year last year. He has battled some injuries. It's possible that maybe it needs to be more than that, especially if you want to beat out other teams for his services. But I think it's probably closer to like a first and a second round, or like maybe 2 seconds, 2 seconds in a player. And I think if you do 2 seconds in a player plus, again, have the ability for that second to turn into a first, I think you can get pretty darn close to it. Maybe you need to add a fourth round pick or something in, but like I think that's 2 seconds, that one of them that could turn into a first plus a young player, something like, I think you're really, really close to his value right there.
All right. I mean, if another team did that, if Max Crosby got dealt to, let's say, the Commanders or the Lions, and then I saw that was the return, I'd be furious that the Packers wouldn't have done that, right? So I think that's maybe a good measuring stick. I also think that it's tremendous for the Packers that Myles Garrett just came out and asked for a trade. Max Crosby, it's more rumored. We're trying to speak that into existence. But then a guy also like Khalil Mack is going to be on the market. Like, there's options. So it's not like the entire league is going to be gunning for one guy, which would obviously put the price through the roof. Maybe like it went through the roof with Khalil Mack the first time back in, you know, whatever year that was, 2018 or whenever. But, you know, if it actually comes to pass that Max Crosby becomes available, like, you're going to be talking about three, there could be another player that I'm forgetting about between trades or free agency, legit stars of differing ages and career stages at edge rusher, who all could feel like a really nice final piece for the Packers trying to make a championship push. So I think that's great for Green Bay.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be a ton of fun. I think Goody's going to do something. I think Goody's going to do something really aggressive this offseason. What that is, we'll see. But I think he's going to do one thing at least pretty dang aggressive. That would certainly qualify as exactly that. Also, there's a odd line the other day that Max Crosby's odds to be a Packer were plus 200, which is like a 40% implied probability. Which like, to some point, if like you're putting that out there, it's like you almost know something at that point. And again, that's still like less than 50% chance. And that still seems absurd, but that's like a crazy, crazy line when you think of exactly what that means. So just, you know, going to read some tea leaves and say it's going to happen. So we're going to do it here. All right. I got some quick hitters for you, and you can let me know. I'm just going to run through all of them, and you can let me know what strikes your fancy. Packers will draft 5 linemen in this draft. That's offensive and defensive linemen. So defensive end, defensive tackle, offensive linemen. This will be a lineman heavy draft for Green Bay, and they will draft 5 linemen in total in some capacity. The Packers 2021 draft class will be completely gone and completely nuked. That draft class was Eric Stokes, which means he would not be back. Josh Myers, which means he would not be back. Amari Rodgers already gone. Royce Newman already gone. TJ Slayton, we already talked about, would not be back. Shamarjon Charles already gone. Cole Van Lannen already gone. That would mean Isaiah McDuffie is not back. And Kylan Hill already gone. So what I'm basically saying here is that Stokes, Myers, Slayton, and McDuffie will all be gone from the Packers this offseason. And that 2021 draft class will be completely kaput. Next, Zach Tom will sign a very lucrative new contract as one of the highest paid right tackles in all of football. Neither Quay Walker nor Devontae Wyatt will get their full 5th-year options picked up. I think you could see some compromise between either of those, maybe both. Where
we've
it's like
we've right talked in- about that. That intrigues me. Yeah.
Yep. So I could see something like that, but neither get the full 5th-year option picked up. The Chicago Bears, for the 87th consecutive season, win the offseason. I don't know how bold that is, but I'm going to say it one more time. They're going to be the 87th consecutive winner of the offseason. It's a streak unlike any other. The Bulls and their three-peats have nothing on the Chicago Bears' offseason wins. The Detroit Lions will get ultra, ultra aggressive. Like, I think there's going to be like a Myles Garrett or something crazy. I think they're going to get desperate because they now lost Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn. They are this juggernaut in the regular season that's not been able to get anything out of it. And I think they're going to look around the corner and be like, I know we just signed some of these guys to long-term extensions, but like, we've got to put, like, our window is now. It kind of has to be now. So I think they're going to make some sort of ultra, ultra aggressive move this offseason. And then last but not least, Aaron Rodgers is a Pittsburgh Steeler. Those are my remaining bold offseason predictions. Any thoughts on any of those?
Let's do Rodgers at the end. I will give you a thought on both. How many linemen did you say that they would take?
Five.
So I'll combine that thought with the Zach Tom thought. I think they should extend Zach Tom and let Josh Myers go. Not because he's bad, but I just don't think he's good enough to get that. Very John Runyon Jr., which is a comparison that I make often, which probably isn't fair to either, but it's just a good framework.
It's very fair to either. Fair to both, okay. Actually. But yeah.
Okay. I think it's fair too, but it's just a good way to word it.
Yep.
So I heard a lot of people the week after the Super Bowl, like, man, you watch the Eagles, like, it's all on the lines. You got to protect your quarterback. You got to be able to look at the Chiefs. You got to be able to protect your quarterback. I watched the Eagles and thought way more about the Eagles pass rush than I did about the Chiefs O-line. And I think this is especially pertinent to the Packers. Let's say the Packers have an offensive line that's an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Right. Maybe there's a couple units that are better, but for the most part, 8 out of 10, they're really, really good. I think a team in a position like that is much better served trying to build up the other. Let me put it this way. I don't think there's a ton of value in trying to get an 8 out of 10 offensive line to a 10 out of 10. I think you reach a point of diminishing returns when you keep feeding resources into the O-line.
Sure.
I like Tom, right? He had a bad game against the Eagles. I'm hoping that he grows from that. I would try to maintain the O-line and really, really go all in on the pass rush. I think O-line is good enough. And I think you start to get less bang for your buck trying to get a very good offensive line to be a perfect offensive line. Does that make sense?
Makes all the sense in the world. Absolutely.
Okay. With the linemen, I just think it's D-line pass rush. I don't know that they have a ton of pressing need on the O-line. You continue to feed it and get guys in the works. I don't know who takes over. Who do you think would be the center in waiting if they let Josh Myers go?
It's going to be either Jenkins or Sean Ryan. I'm going to say Jenkins wins it. I think they're going to trust him with the calls and the checks and giving him the full offseason to just do that. I think he gets really, really good at it. But I could see Jacob Monk. I could see them bringing back Myers. I could see it being Sean Ryan. I don't think it'll be Zach Tom. I think that's a stretch too far. But they have options. They'll use them. And like, they could easily draft like a center in like the third or fourth round too, that could very easily compete there as well. So, but I'll say Jenkins for now, but I think there's a lot of different ways it could go.
Didn't Jacob Monk impress in camp last year? I thought, like, I remember reading and hearing a lot of
there was, facts about and, Jacob then, Monk was and then he was the guy that was the lone inactive for almost all the games. Like every other offensive lineman got active ahead of him, which never even really made sense because they didn't have interior offensive line depth. Like it was all tackles. It was like Andre Dillard, Kadeem Telfort, and Travis Glover. So much so that in that game against Philly, where they had interior guys go out, like they had to go with like Telfort and Glover. Actually, Monk might have even been active for that game, and they didn't even consider him in either of those spots. So they have just like completely fallen out of favor in some capacity, at least to be a active player on game day. And he would have been the most obvious one because he had guard center, guard versatility. And nobody else had that. So it was just really weird that he completely fell out of favor with being active on game days.
Well, quarterback is very different than O-line, but you know, Jordan Love, this is probably about, I'll just scrap it. I won't make it Jordan Love, but I do think there's an argument to be made where it's like, we're really happy about your future and about your development and eventually taking over a spot versus if we need someone to come in on Sunday. Right. Maybe that's not a huge indictment. I remember, you know, Mike Clemens joins all of our shows. And like, I just remember there being a lot of positivity around Jacob Monk. And I remember mentally bookmark like, oh, he's probably the guy who takes over for Josh Myers at center. And then we haven't we just haven't really heard much about him or talked much about him since.
The only thing that gives me, you know, pause is that there were times even at the end of camp where he was getting reps at starting right guard in a few different occasions, like actually rotating in with Sean Ryan and Jordan Morgan as well. So it was like, it wasn't just center. Like they were trying to like, so to fall so far behind those guys and then also fall behind both Travis Glover and Kadeem Telford, guys that shouldn't even probably be guards at guard, that just gives me a little bit of cause for concern of like, what the hell happened? Yeah. I'm not saying it couldn't, like maybe it was just beat up and we didn't really know it. Maybe, who knows? I have no idea. And maybe he comes out and just balls out this offseason and looks like a starting center and sign me the hell up for that. But I'm not exactly holding my breath on it either.
This is why Pack-A-Day is great, is because we do 5 minutes in February about what happened to Jacob Monk last year, right?
There's
why
was nothing, he right? There's nothing else I want this to be than exactly that. This is not, I mean, we're going to have our, you know, like could the Packers sign T. Higgins and stuff like that. But like, we're going to nerd out about Jacob Monk for 5 minutes. Anytime we get the opportunity to nerd out about Jacob Monk for 5 minutes, zero question about it.
Yeah.
All right. Any other, oh, you said Rodgers. Thoughts on where he plays?
So I've been wording it this way on my show. If I was Aaron Rodgers and I really wanted to play this upcoming year and it mattered where I played, like for example, if Rodgers gets offered $5 million to go be the starter for Tennessee for 1 year, I think there's a chance he just says, you know what, I'll retire. And there's nothing against the Titans, but like I could see him if he only has one offer and it's not one he loves. Like, I don't know. If I was Aaron Rodgers, I would be watching my phone constantly hoping Mike Tomlin calls. Because I think that's the spot. You know what I think they are? I think they're the Jets with a clue, with an actual coach and a culture. And they're not a perfect roster, just like the Jets weren't. But they have some good talent all around. Rodgers, I bet, could help them attract a player or two. And I think Pittsburgh could absorb him in a way. That market could absorb him in a way and kind of keep the train on the tracks in a way that the Jets couldn't. I actually, you know what? As Rodgers has been released, it's been open season on Rodgers and how much of a disaster these final 2 years of his career have been. I think it's just as damning for the Jets. Rodgers isn't perfect, but the Jets could do nothing with him or nothing around him. And I think they deserve a lot of smack too. And I just don't think that would be an issue in Pittsburgh. Now, Minnesota, I think, is probably even better than Pittsburgh. I just don't know that Minnesota would want him.
The appetite for him, yeah.
That I'm not sure.
Here, to me, there's... So there's a couple things. The Pittsburgh one makes all the sense in the world, right? Mm-hmm. I think if some team goes to him and says, you're our guy, like you are, we're all in on you. I don't care if it's the Titans, the Raiders, like if some team shows him that admiration and love and is like, we're going to give you $20 million on a 1 year deal. Like we're all in on you. I think he's like, all right, let's do this. Let's make it work. Cause he's going to have his prerequisites of certain guys that he's going to want to come with him. And probably if anyone's willing to do that, I think he'll be, all right, let's do it. The other option too would be, and I don't know if he would do this, but like, you know, there's going to be that quarterback that gets injured through the course of the season, whether it was like Dak for Dallas or like, you know what, if you, I know, right? But like,
can you imagine if this was last year and Rodgers was waiting and then Dak goes down and he gets to go to the McCarthy. Cowboys with McCarthy? Oh,
can you imagine? Right? Like there's going to be somebody. There's like legitimately going to be. Do you wait until you've got like a 6-1 team and some team's quarterback tears their ACL and you can go be the savior there? Like that might be the best possible role for him too. Like, it's just like, you know what? I don't need to be there day one. I don't need to go through camp and mini camp and OTAs. Like I'll go play for somebody once the right spot opens. And there's probably, it's going to happen to somebody at some point where a good team loses their starting quarterback and I'll go play for them and I'll be the savior.
There's a chance, of course, it doesn't happen. It always seems like it happens somewhere. But I think if Rodgers takes that approach mentally, he's in a spot where it's like, look, if it's not perfect, I'm okay being done. You know what I mean? I'm okay being done.
Tua's going to get hurt at some point. Like you've got that in your back pocket at all. Like Tua's going to get hurt at some point. You can always go to Miami. Yes. So or
Brock Purdy. He's always banged up.
There's going to be somebody.
Yeah.
What would have to happen? How many quarterbacks would have to get hurt before the Packers would be like, all right, Aaron, come on back. It's
interesting.
You're 10-1, top of the NFL. Trade deadline's over. There's nobody available in free agency other than Aaron Rodgers. Both Jordan Love and Malik Willis are completely done for the year. And your option is a 6th-round rookie, Sean Clifford, or calling Aaron Rodgers. Are you making the call?
I think you have to.
You have to.
I don't think you have a choice.
You have to.
I don't think there's ever been anything like that in sports. That the hypothetical you just cooked up, and I'm a sports radio gas bag. I couldn't even cooked up anything like that. I think Pittsburgh's the best spot. They're not going to win a Super Bowl with them. Just like I didn't think the Jets were ever going to. I thought their ceiling was contend for the division, get in, maybe win a playoff game, which they would take. And right now, I think Steelers fans would take too. The tough part is, do the Steelers fans want another old guy at the end of their career? You know what I mean? I think this is the same reason the Colts, even Anthony Richardson aside, Rodgers is probably a tough sell, because it's like, well, you did the corpse of Phillip Rivers, the corpse of Matt Ryan. Like, I don't know. I think to the outside world, the Steelers and Rodgers makes all the sense in the world. I bet Steelers fans would tell you something differently. I would imagine that they're like, no, we need a guy. Finally, we've been lost in the wilderness ever since Big Ben retired. But I think it makes the most sense for Rodgers. That's where I would want to go.
Yeah.
And I bet they'll have at least some interest, but I wonder if they'll want to go all the way in. I don't know. It'll be interesting for sure.
Very much so. Grant, you're the absolute best. Where can we find all of your incredible work? And any final thoughts or anything else on the way out?
Oh, no, you are the best, Andy. No, I guess nothing specific or special on the show. I guess this week I'll be live at the Kohl Center on Tuesday night leading up to Wisconsin, Illinois, which I'm very much looking forward to. I think they've lost 9 in a row to Illinois. That's not Packers related, but if you were to tune into my show this week, you'd catch that. I'm on Twitter at Wisco Grant. The show's got a YouTube page and a Facebook page, and you can watch the live stream and find all the details there. So appreciate it if you like more Packers talk and more. I mean, Andy, I think your radio chops, your content creation chops. I'm going to steal a couple of these hot takes, I think, for this week.
So let's do it.
Find that as well.
Yeah. I got 3 hours on Monday morning. I got my show for an hour, and then I got the Mason Crosby show I'm filling in for 2 hours on Monday morning. So if anyone's wanting to tune in to some extra Andy Herman talk, I've got 3 hours of radio show on Monday morning from 8 to 11 on the Fan in Milwaukee. So make sure to check that out as well.
Are you filling in for Mitch or Mason?
Both. I'm flying solo.
So it's just you.
Oh, yeah, man. I got 3 hours straight of solo radio. I've got an awesome guest list tomorrow. So I've got, what do I got? I got in the first hour, I've got Kurt Hogue, of course, of the Journal Sentinel, covering some Brewers baseball. And then I've got on the Mason Crosby show, I've got Mark Oldacres from Cheesehead TV, Jacob Westendorf, of course, of everywhere, Sports Illustrated, Frank Madden, of course, Locked On Bucks, oh, and then our good friend Andrew Mertag coming on as well at 10:20. So I got an awesome group of guests to get me through 3 hours of radio tomorrow.
That is a load.
Or today, as people are listening to this.
I want to talk to Kurt at some point soon, just because I'm seeing pictures from spring training and I'm like, oh, there's no better. I said this on Friday. There's no better sensory experience than spring training baseball in Arizona. When you start hearing the interviews with the lawnmower in the background and the batting cages, and it's just, oh, it's the best. So I'm sad that football's done, but I'm ready for some spring training. And football's not technically done because we have the combine and the draft, and it's all going to happen fast and furious.
True story. So. True story, nonfiction. Go follow him at Wisco Grant. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.